Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's BudPod 75. Phil, I always find increments of 25, very satisfying.
They're satisfying because they click into place. They just click, click, click into place and get you to 100 and get you to 50.
Yeah. And you can move on with your life.
But then you get to some, you keep clicking up and you get to like 375 and you think, oh no, this doesn't look good.
Yeah.
This is starting to look quite messy. And you click up another 25 and you're at 400 and you're like, shit, oh, that's a relief. I didn't think, oh, I didn't, I wasn't sure we'd get back to this back there. But we're back, to
400. That's perfect. 375 is the messy one, isn't it, of those options?
Yeah. Yeah, 725, not ideal, but at least you got the two in there. But 375, you go, oh, Jesus, what have I got myself into?
They're all odd. What have I done?
75, staying alive.
Yeah.
How have you been?
Oh, I've been staying alive.
Yeah.
I had my first haircut since early March.
Have you cut your own hair since
then? Nope, just let it go.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You got your hair cut like literally the day before lockdown, didn't you?
Pretty much, or close to it.
You're like a disaster capitalist, but for hair. You knew when to buy.
That's it. I knew when to buy hair and you when to sell hair. It's time to sell some hair. I got my hair cut before the government had warned me that I might have coronavirus.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And all the hairdressers are dead now. They're not dead. That's the same guy and he's fine.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, just this very cheerful Algerian guy.
Oh, that's helpful. The cheerfulness helps.
Yeah, and he's given me the haircut he always gives me, no matter what I say, which is I go in and I say all sorts of like subtle things about, oh, a trim, or, yeah, the top is like, the sides are just a bit, the proportions, you know, I say things like that. And what he hears is, hello, make me look like an Iranian footballer. I'd like to look like an Iranian footballer, please. I'd like a very clearly, crisply defined beard and a sort of swept back, not quite a quiff, but, you know, very short on the sides. Yeah, I went in thinking, I'm going to ask for a scissor cut on the sides, not even a buzzer like I normally do. And he just went, oh, yes, 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 and just went vrr, like straight in with with the old machine on the side of
yes,
my head.
Yes, 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 electric scissors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are what we call scissors these days, Grandpa. Yeah, and so now...
Oh, good. Well, great. Do you feel better?
I feel a lot less warm. I have very, very thick hair. That's why it doesn't, like... Mm. I can not have a haircut since March, and it looks a lot longer, but it doesn't like droop as much as it could. It all just like puffs up into a big fucking thick old hat.
Yeah,
which is not ideal in this weather. Not ideal in this weather to be wearing a hat forever.
To be wearing a hat like a Russian conscript in the hottest day of the year. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. One of those flat with the flaps and everything. Yeah. So I feel shorn and fresh, and I'll be seeing you later. You can see how much I look like a Iranian footballer.
It's true. Pierre and I are going to the park. We won't say which park because we don't want to be mobbed.
Yeah.
We don't want to be mobbed. Actually,
we don't like mobs.
We don't like mobs.
We're mob phobes.
But we're going to meet in the park. It's very exciting. Oh, quick, I'd like to recommend a book. This is the kind of podcast this has become.
Oh, yes.
I'd like to recommend a book. I can't remember the last time I read a book so quickly. But a friend and a very impressive person, Nina Schick, has written a book about deepfakes. and a period of time she's calling the infocalypse, which is like an apocalypse for information. It's basically about how the internet has made the world a very difficult place to validate information and to know what is true. And this book is about the rise of deep fakes, which are like face swaps, basically. Things people do as face swaps as a joke online.
Yeah.
Are also very dangerous and scary because we all still think videos, you know, we still have a natural inclination to believe videos. And so who knows what kind of crimes will be possible when people can just fake videos of each other. So it's called Deep Fakes. It's by Nina Shik. I highly recommend it. I read it in like a weekend. It's brill.
It sounds horrifying.
It's really hard. It's like, and deepfake crimes have already, like frauds are being committed already. Yeah. And people have got like CEOs of huge banks and investment trusts to just wire the money because they've been able to deepfake one of the. Sorry, they've been able to get like pretty high-level employees to wire millions of euros because they've deepfaked the CEO's voice and they just call up and use this program. And they can say whatever they want. It's not like they're playing like old recordings. They've taught this program what this person's voice sounds like and they can make it say anything.
That's insane. That's Mission Impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
Have you seen any deepfakes, like where they put Steve Buscemi's face on Donald Trump or whatever?
Yeah.
It's terrifying. It doesn't look perfect. You can see there's something a bit wrong going on, but it still looks pretty amazing.
What's truly terrifying is not just the face swap AIs, but the completely generative ones. So the deepfakes that are completely new faces. So that you're not altering video, you're making like new things from scratch. And you can go on a website called, I didn't know about this like a year or so back, thisisnotarealperson.com. Have you been on this website?
No, sorry,
thispersondoesnotexist.com.
Oh, is it called twitter.com?
Is
that the name of the website full of fake people? Yeah.
Is it a Russian Facebook? if this person does not exist, you can go on it now, Pierre, to be honest. Just go on thispersondoesnotexist.com and it will generate for you a face that does not exist.
Ooh.
But looks like a real person.
I remember reading.
And you can just keep refreshing and it gives you a completely new fake face.
I'm clicking on it right now, listeners. Whoa! Oh my god. It looks a lot like a face that does exist.
Yeah, but if you just refresh, it'll just make you a new one.
Okay. Oh, wow, that's a little like Indian boy. That's a kind of like a Mexican teenager. That's just like a lady, just a lady from a place. That one looks like a celebrity. Oh, this is fucking weird.
Yeah, and it's using something called I'm just going to regurgitate the book.
Sure.
It's using something called a GAN, which is a generative...
adversarial network.
A generative adversarial network. Basically, it has two AIs. One AI makes up faces. The other AI is a fake face detecting AI.
Oh.
And the one that makes up the new faces keeps throwing it at the other AI.
Right.
Until the other AI goes, okay, yeah, that's a real face.
Right.
And that's the face you end up
so
with.
So it's like quite a funny sort of double act of... someone going like, is this a face? No, that's not a face, you idiot. The chin's weird. And they rub out the chin. What about this? No, the nose is weird. And so just that at lightning speed.
Exactly, like a million times a second. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I would quite... It would be quite funny to just do this and then try and think of names. They do look
I did this... I was hanging out with a friend and showed her this website, and we played a game that went on for like an hour.
Yeah.
Which was we generate a face, and then we describe what that person does.
Yes.
And what kind of person they are.
Oh, man. It's so weird. God.
It's a really fun game.
How long until there's a film where you do it and then the first face is yours?
Well, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't exist, no! Or like an AI, by chance, imagined me and how I look.
Well, you mean like a movie in which you sit at home and you watch it and it puts you in the lead role?
Oh, that's a better idea. Makes you the action hero.
Yeah.
I remember reading somewhere, and there's no way that they could prove this. It's the sort of thing that people like to write about dreams, because there's no way of proving anything when it comes to dreams. That every face you see in your dreams, they were arguing that the brain is incapable of making up faces. And like, your dreams only reflect things you've experienced. It's not new information. Mm. You can't get new from old.
Yeah.
So that technically anyone who you see in your dreams is a face you've seen before.
I see. Yeah. That makes sense.
Which is one of those things where if someone says, every face in your dreams is a face you've already seen, you go, oh, wow. Wait, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't matter.
Also, what are babies' dreams like then? Just sort of...
concepts.
Shapes and a dog. The two dogs you've met and, yeah, a triangle.
And a huge tit.
Yeah. Most of the characters in babies' dreams are ginormous bubs.
Yeah, you just bubs everywhere, and then the nice dream is the boob is back, the boob's here, and then a bad dream is, no, the boob is gone, and I guess you're cold.
A baby waking up for a dream, like, and just pointing at boobs going, and you were there? And you were there?
I'm always really interested in, like... Because one of the reasons that you forget what it was like to be a little kid is because of just how long it's been, right? It's just ages away. So, like, when you're six, it's double when you were three. Like, the ratios are so fucked. Can 3-year-olds remember being one?
Let me try to remember. For as long in life as I can remember, my first memories are at 4 years old.
Yeah.
4 years old was always, even when I was like seven, I was like, I remember when I was four and I don't remember anything before that.
Yeah. It's so weird. It's like you weren't recording.
People say they remember being born, but they're fucking hippie liars.
You know who I would believe saying, I remember being born is, because it's always someone, it's always a white person with dreadlocks.
And so you have to ask, which birth are you talking about? Because if it's your rebirth 3 months ago, then I'm out.
Yeah, if you're talking about Burning Man, then I'm no longer interested in this fucking anecdote. Exactly. So if the only time I would believe it is if the person saying it is the opposite of who seems like they should be saying it. And that's my rule for a lot of stuff.
Okay,
I find that
okay.
The most believable. So if it was like, imagine like a really socially like right wing, like very straight laced, you know, like religious, I don't know, like hardline Catholic oil businessman.
Mm.
And then he's like, yeah, and he's like not even happy to admit it. He's like, yeah, I think I remember being born. I believe that guy. Because he gets no credit in his social circle for saying that. People think he's weird for saying that. So he's incentivized not to admit it.
I'd believe it if, like, Richard Dawkins said it. not because I implicitly trust Richard Dawkins on everything, but because he's not the kind of guy who would lie about it. He'd be embarrassed about it. Like you say, like this oil-rich Catholic person.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Whereas, like, in the same way, I would... I really believe hippies and things when they criticize anything about their own vibe, like they're incentivized to not ever criticize it, right? Because they're in the in-group.
Any
internally critical in-group member seems very reliable to me.
Yeah, if a hippie said to me, yeah, man, weed, it rots your brain, I'm never touching weed ever. I will never, ever look at it so much as... Cause
exactly.
If old Jimmy Dreadlocks... if old white Jimmy Dreadlocks told me that...
James Dreadlocks?
Man, old James Dreadlocks.
Yeah. You go, well, if you're saying that, fucking hell. You must have seen it. You must have really seen it. it's the same reason why everyone loved that. Who was that really fucking old guy, Harry, who would be like, the NHS is a jewel. He was like
Harry
thingy. He was like 107 and would go on about he remembered there not being an NHS and he was on Twitter and he died.
The last First World War soldier.
No. Wait, was it?
Wasn't it Harry? Yeah,
and
Harry.
And his son was Canadian and he was like a big like vote for Labour guy.
Oh, was he?
No. You know this guy. What was his name? He was like a huge sort of figure, and like he would like send tweets, and they get a trillion retweets because he'd be like, "I remember not having any milk." And let's see.
And everyone would go, "Wow!"
Yeah, everyone would
go, "No milk at times."
Yeah, wow, no milk. We should be glad that we have milk now. God, what is this fucking name? Harry Leslie Smith. You remember?
Yeah.
Harry Leslie Smith, that was who it was. And he was like... anyway, my point is that the reason that that gets excessively celebrated is because a really ancient, like, white old man pensioner is seen as the opposite of the of values that he was espousing. So they're like, see, old man who the Daily Telegraph likes thinks that we're right. So we must be double right.
Yes, exactly. That's it.
The same way that like every right-wing publication has got like a 21-year-old blonde woman who went to a Russell Group university who writes about how actually everything a fat old cigar-smoking city trader in his 50s thinks is correct and good.
Mm-hmm.
Because it makes them go, see? Yeah. See?
Yeah.
I don't know what the equivalent would be for comedy. Like if someone who hated comedy admitted you were funny. Maybe that would be it.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes people say that, you know, I don't find anything funny, but you're okay. And I guess that means something.
Yeah.
Although it also might mean that you're very funny to people with no sense of humor, which is not a good
thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of all the types of comedy, you're the one that humorless pieces of shit think is good.
Yeah.
Shall we do some correspondence?
Correspondence special. Dinner. Correspondence dinner.
Dinner.
Are we going to do the jingle?
Yeah.
Ring letters, emails, phone calls, correspondence.
Correspondence. So Dom gets in touch.
Dom, give us some. Give us some, Dom.
The title of his email, subject I suppose, is literary tat attack. Anger at quarantine blogs.
Anger at quarantine blogs. Okay, so these are blogs like people have written during their time in quarantine, I'm guessing. That would be the obvious guess.
Oh, yes. So, dear pub bods, which is good.
I wish.
Yeah.
I wish we were in pubs.
Yeah. I shall dispense with the flattering niceties and get down to business, getting angry at the quarantine blogs of acquaintances whom you know just well enough to secretly wave your fist at like a cartoon old man. And to mock with sarcasm has become a guilty pleasure of mine in these tedious times.
What's a quarantine acquaintance? Like the people who live in your building?
No, the quarantine blogs of acquaintances.
Oh, the quarantine blogs of acquaintances. Okay, yes.
Yeah. One acquaintance has recently developed such a literary leisurely pursuit. Or no, I misread that. One acquaintance has recently developed such a literary leisurely pursuit and has provided quite literally minutes of entertainment and acted as a vital outlet for mocking to make me feel superior. Think of this as tat attack in published form.
Lovely.
So here he says, here is one such example. So this is a quote from the blog. Or a title from the blog, I think. My fitness journey, running 5K.
I mean, I feel like I can guess the journey. You couldn't do it and then you could do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I mean, look, everyone should try and exercise more and run and do this or whatever. But if you're going to have to write a blog about it, I mean, there's a guy who's run across Canada. Genuinely, through the mountains, in like nonstop. All those like running freaks, like those guys get to write about it. I guess if you're really funny, writing about 5K thing. But Dom says, fighting against apartheid South Africa, being in prison for 26 years, and then ruling the country which imprisoned you is a journey, not jogging for an hour.
Not a year, yeah.
Yeah.
Long jog to freedom.
The long jog to freedom. Couch to South African presidency. That's the app you can download. Then here's another good quote. I like this a lot. I have spent the past 15 years at least being relatively proud of the fact that I have never succumbed to the peer pressure of getting abs.
Well, that is what Buddhists refer to as inner peace, I think.
Yes, I like the phrasing. I have spent the past 15 years, open brackets, at least.
Yeah.
Being relatively proud. I've spent the last 15 years being relatively proud.
It's like the opening line of a Salinger novel.
Yeah, it's such an indirect. I've spent 15 years or more being proud of the fact that I never did this.
Yeah, yeah. I like it a lot. It's very American 20th century at the very least, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I am ashamed to say that for the last 50 years, I have never been prouder to have not smoked in the presence of my former wife. That kind of thing. You just have to go, like with each additional qualifier, you have to sort of blink and go, right, okay. Okay, so you're at least that old, right? Marriage, okay.
Yeah. It was in the final summer of the war that I had recalled during the period which had just passed, that at no point did I partake of missing my first love.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Now we're deep into context.
Yeah.
Nice. So he comments on that saying, yeah, sure, you could have got a six-pack. You just chose not to because it got in the way of your hip-hop classes. Well, that seems very specific. It gets even more. Give me a break. New. Who's new? You're not kidding anyone. He says, I got myself all riled up. Apologies, this is not a poop-related email. I'll endeavor to make up for this with a personal story at some point involving diarrhea-inducing altitude sickness medication in the base camp of Kilimanjaro. Very fancy.
Ooh, did that actually happen, or has Dom made up a story that we would like to hear?
Ooh.
I reckon it's happened.
Ooh,
it's
hard to say.
Although at this point, there might very well be an online bot that will come up with emails BudPod would like. You know, I'm surprised there isn't, like, we fed this algorithm 70 episodes of BudPod, and it has come up with the platonic ideal of a Bud Pod letter.
This poo does not exist. or just generates pictures of people who shout themselves. I've got a very long and involved email from, I guess, Eliza, but with an S. So it can't be Elisa, can it? It has to be Eliza.
Elisa, this is someone who thinks Lisa has done something, but isn't sure.
Yeah.
Lisa,
Is this your pudding?
Yeah.
Did you make this in home ec?
Lisa, did you leave the keys in the sink? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, or like, eh, Lisa. Like, so you're trying to, someone who's trying to get your attention in, kind of, is saying like eh like that a thing in Malaysia?
Yeah, it is. I was just about to say that's a very colonial way of getting someone's attention. Eh.
Yeah. Eh. Yeah, that would work in South Africa as well. Eh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lisa.
Lisa.
Yeah.
Hey Lisa is coming. It says, "Dear Pooh Boys," fair enough. Fair enough.
Very fair.
"Thank you for your excellent work on this podcast." Thank you. "I always look forward to Thursday morning harvest because Bud Pod is the first thing I listen to as I pick vegetables. I work on a farm."
Wow. Yeah. Bud Pod is picking for Britain, everyone.
Pick for Britain. People listen to Bud Pod to help them visualize how to fertilize the plants.
The official podcast of the Land Army, Bud Pod.
The official listening experience of all patriotic asparagus pickers. Bud Pod, putting food on people's plates, on Britain's plates. When the nation shits itself, Bud Pod listens.
And calls out, "Bravo."
So she says, "My husband and I live and travel, although not currently, obviously, in a large van which we made into a little home."
Oh, wow.
You live in a storybook.
Oh, wow. That's really... Yes, yes, yes. Or an indie film.
Hmm. Yes, this is very ukulele soundtrack. Although she does qualify. It's not like the pristine hashtag tiny house versions you find on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. It is just a van.
It's a scary van.
Yeah.
I think it's in between hashtag tiny houses on Instagram and scary van. I think she's implying that she's somewhere in between those two extremes.
Okay, okay.
"While it does have some modern conveniences, one thing that it doesn't have is a toilet."
Mm-hmm.
"We use public loos, occasionally go behind a bush if we're somewhere really remote, and have a small white bucket which is reserved for emergency use and is labelled with a P for peas."
Very good.
"It has only once been used for anything other than these."
Ooh.
"And these peas."
I wonder what that was.
Mm. "At the end of last year, we were in a part of the northwest of Australia."
Oh, so not always picking for Britain. Sometimes picking for Britain's Commonwealth.
Sometimes picking for our lives across the globe.
Always moving, always picking, 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 picking towards glory.
Picking eucalyptus leaves. Northwest Territory, so that's proper like angry desert, isn't it, in Australia? That's where there is just like no one.
Northwest, yeah. Like, that's sort of where... No, Perth is like west-west, right? Do you know Perth is the most isolated city in the world?
I've been to Perth and I can believe that.
Yeah. It's just furthest from any other, I don't know, settlement or other city.
If you zoom in on Perth on a map and then zoom out, you have to zoom out shockingly far before you see another big city. Yeah. Creepy feeling. So at the end of last year, we were in a part of Northwest Australia that has very few rest stops with bathrooms. It was a scorching hot day, at least 40 degrees Celsius. Horrible.
Here we are whining about 34, which is really horrible, by the way.
Mm-hmm. The weather has been gross. So it's 40 degrees Celsius in northwestern Australia in the middle of nowhere. And Elisa says that she just got her period that morning. I've obviously never menstruated in my life. There's still time. There's still time. But I can imagine that it's something you want to have happen to you, ideally, in, I would say, even slightly chilly weather, 10 degrees.
I'm not sure I guess it doesn't make you feel sort of hot or anyway, being on the old pee.
Well, I just like all the cramps and effects.
You'd probably want the numbing effect of cold, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like being ill, and it's not good to be ill in the hot.
I guess. Yeah.
I would say, I always prefer to be hungover in freezing cold weather.
That's true.
That's what I'm comparing it to.
Yeah.
So, she's just started her what do you call it? Cycle?
Uh-huh.
That's a word. And as luck would have it, the first day of my magical monthly menstruation always brings diarrhea with it.
Wow!
Merry Christmas!
Just like Pierre's hangovers.
Just like my hangovers, yeah. I have heard this. I have heard that this is a thing for some ladies.
Interesting.
Which is like what a double punch.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just going to get everything. Enjoy. God.
Yeah, it's just full-blown evacuation zone below the belly button.
Yes. Everything must go. It's such a funny, horrible joke by, you know, God or whatever, that you're essentially saying to someone, hey, there's this unavoidable thing that's going to have to happen to you. And actually, it's a sign of, like, good health or good reproductive health that it's happening to you if you're, like, young or whatever. But you're going to immediately, everything's just going to fall out of you and you're going to feel like you want to die.
Mm-hmm.
Just every month.
Every month,
it's such a fucking terrible bargain.
Yeah. But, ladies, you know, guys get hangovers, so...
Hey, sometimes my nuts stick to my leg.
That's right, so maybe...
We're all suffering.
Yeah, maybe a little compassion this way as well, yeah? It's a two-way street. Dude, my balls are hanging so low at the moment, like cartoonish.
Oh, cartoonish. Man, if I walk into a room, my balls follow a couple of minutes later. Like a faithful but very elderly dog.
Like Greyfriars Bobby just hobbling along behind you.
Yeah. Like, if I go around a corner too tightly, they whip around the corner like the cord on a vacuum.
Yeah, they've started hanging so low, I'm worried about getting them twisted up, like in a twist.
Yeah.
That happened to a guy at my school, you know. He was boxing. He was at a boxing club, whatever. Got punched in the nuts, and they twisted around each other.
Oh,
yeah, the little tubes dangly. got like that.
No.
Yeah. Ah. Yeah. He had to have them like massaged back into place or some shit. Horrible. No thanks.
A guy at my school woke up in the night and one had just twisted around on its own and he had to have it nipped off.
No. What?
Yeah. 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 It just didn't go right. It went bad.
How have we got this far with these things?
It's also stupid because they're dangling lower and lower to try and find a cooler temperature, and it's like the air is hot.
You're not gonna find
any. There's not a pocket of cool air in between my knees.
Good luck, boys.
Good luck. Fucking abseiling down to your shoes to try and find some ice to.
Yeah.
Yeah, like someone who's got into trouble on the Matterhorn, trying to get down there for supplies or something. No good. But
yeah. So anyway, enough about our balls.
Enough about our nuts.
For now.
Yes, so always brings diarrhea with it. We're in the middle of nowhere with a straight road before us and behind us, cutting through the harsh red desert that lay in all directions, when the sudden need to defecate hit me. I asked my husband to pull over before dashing in the back of the sweltering hot van. Oh, a van can get hot in a land like that.
Yeah.
Oof. In search of our pee bucket. Finding it, I proceeded to expel a heinous-smelling substance that bore a closer resemblance to nuclear waste than a shit. I don't know what it is about my period, but it really fucks my pipes up.
Yeah, gosh.
Mm. The curse of Eve.
Yeah, you ladies should have stayed away from that snake, shouldn't you? We tried to warn you. We said this will end in tears, but no. You were hungry.
You just thought the snake seemed like someone who knew good places to eat in town on a city break.
Yeah, and we were like, no, he's trying to cheat us. This is what they do. I read about this in Lonely Planet. And he went, no, he's trying to help. And look where we are now.
It's authentic. It's authentic street food.
It's authentic tree food.
It is. I find it very funny to have anything where it's like a combination of nice and like, but nice for horrible reasons. So like a guy who's really, really like kind and empathetic and completely happy to talk about menstruation with women, but does think it's the curse of Eve. like that's why he's so nice about it. Cause he's like, oh, it's not your fault. It was your ancestor.
Yeah.
So he's like, he's insane and horrible, but he's actually really nice.
Yeah.
So She dashes in the back and finds the pee bucket, fills it with nuclear waste. When I was done, the smell had filled the small hot space. Yes, of course. It was truly awful. While the bucket does have a lid which seals extremely well, I'm picturing a big paint bucket, big plastic paint bucket.
Yeah.
Those big white ones with a wire carrier.
The kind of thing is that sort of teeter precariously on scaffolding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We didn't love the idea, which it does have a lid which seals extremely well. We didn't love the idea of continuing to drive with my poo sloshing wetly about inside it. Yes, fair enough. And besides, given its stench, I was worried it would taint the bucket forevermore if we didn't dispose of it fast. Yes.
It would soak like into the plastic.
Yes, well, like a bolognese in a Tupperware.
What a horrible thing to call diarrhea bolognese.
Oh, God. That is really repulsive, yeah. That is horrid. Truly awful, that.
If you excuse me, I got to go make some bolognese. Mama's recipe. Excuse me.
That's what she should say. She should say, "Oh, it's my Dolmio day today."
you've been very irritable. Are you on your Dolmio day? Yes. Sorry, I forgot. Yeah, it's my Dolmio day today.
Oh, God.
I need to check my Dolmio tracking app.
Yes. Is it how saucy is my day today? I took a trowel out, she says.
That's like a little spade, right?
Yeah, a little triangle spade.
Yeah.
With a bent handle. I took a trowel out and chose a place away from the road to dig a hole. I would not want to dig a hole in the middle of the North Australian desert, because it'd just be like, oh, a million scorpions have come out of the hole I've made.
Oh, yeah. Also, she must have felt like she was burying a body for the mob.
You just think, I'm in a scene from Breaking Bad right now. I'm like sweating and going, oh no, and sort of troweling a hole desperately in the red sand. God.
Her husband's just like, Jesse!
Jesse! You're going to bury the shit, Jesse! It'll taint the bucket if we don't dispose of it immediately. Where am I? Yes. Due to it being the middle of summer, the ground was unbelievably dry and hard. My husband and I took turns chipping and scraping away at it for what seemed like forever in the baking sun. By the time we dug anything that resembled a hole, we were both dripping with sweat. This is a nightmare. We weren't sure if the hole was deep enough, but we figured that, given how wet my waist was, it would just drain away.
It's going to sit on the top, isn't it? It's just going to sit on the top like a little puddle.
Yeah, she says, of course, this was not the case. As soon as we started pouring, we realized our mistake as the hole filled quickly with steaming liquid sewage and the unyielding ground seemed to refuse to absorb a single drop. I thought maybe throwing some loose sand on top might help soak it up, but that just pushed the level higher. And it was now threatening to spill over. We waited, but nothing seemed to be happening. And if anything, it looked like the ground was repelling it, rejecting it in the way that my very own body had. I was conscious of the fact that it probably wouldn't be long before I needed to go again. We still had half an hour to drive before we reached the next toilet.
That's love. I was beginning to feel love, isn't it?
Yeah, you're together forever if you're in the middle of the Australian desert digging poo holes together. Then you've done it. You found your person, probably.
Yeah.
I'm always amazed that like there isn't a breaking point to that kind of intimacy where people go, I've seen you pour too much of your own shit into a desert hole. I'm that's who you are to me now. Yeah, no longer my lover. You're a poo pourer.
There's no mystery in this anymore for me. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So she says, I was beginning to feel panicked. The unbearable heat combined with the ache of my ovaries wringing themselves out was making me almost delirious, and I cursed this shit to the boiling hot heavens. We could afford to wait no longer. In the end, I just dumped the rest into the overflowing hole and we ran. Koji, Eliza.
We ran.
We ran.
Man, I wonder what happened to that. Imagine if they went back to that spot and there's like a verdant oasis there now.
Yeah, like the only tree in that whole area.
Yeah,
is there,
and a beautiful deer just grazing at its feet.
Yeah, and unable to leave its feet because there's no shade.
Yeah, it doesn't know how it got there. It's the only grass for miles. It will die if it tries to leave.
Yes, yes, beautiful.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Holly gets in touch.
Holly, never Wally.
The subject line is Goofy Prison Art.
Okay.
And she says, Hi, Phil and Pierre. Your talk of Uncanny Valley Goofy artwork, episode 60, Dream Pod.
Okay.
Where it's like, it's so close to a Disney character.
I don't understand.
Goofy, when they paint Disney characters on the walls, remember the murals?
Oh, on a right. And on like ice cream vans and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So she says, it really struck a chord with me. Last year, I was visiting family and decided to take my kids, at the time aged 9, 11, and 13, to Maitland Jail, not far from Newcastle, New South Wales. Another Australian story.
A lovely family day out.
Hmm. I thought it would be a great history lesson, she said.
Oh, it's not a currently working jail, then?
I don't think so.
Okay.
My husband and I had visited old Melbourne jail years before and heard tales of the notorious bushranger, Ned Kelly.
I've been to Melbourne jail, the Gaol. Melbourne Gaol. Lovely bit of stuff.
And I hoped for something similar. However, I hadn't given any...
Oh, it's fun that when you go on the tour in Melbourne Gaol, there's a lady who's your tour guide but pretends to be your arresting officer. No, she pretends to be like the jail warden. And she's like, all right, you're all going to prison. You're all... But then she also has to be like, just be careful, don't get too close. Yeah, she has to like do the health and safety as well as...
You pieces of shit are going to jail and be aware of any exposed nails. Don't scratch yourself on any.
That's always fun when someone's like, you are worth nothing to me. I am in charge of this historical... Oh, and their gift shop is just over there.
I saw yesterday, I was in town for the first time in a while. I was walking up Regent Street past Hamleys. And,
Wow.
I don't know if anyone, people listening know, I guess obviously some will. And on the front of Hamleys, they have little performances for kids. It's a toy shop. And they have... sort of young members of staff perform a little dance or a little mini play to entice young people. And this was on the hottest day of the year. There were a guy and a girl out there just doing a little dance and doing a sing-song to like one couple who were just like, what the fuck's going on here? Like a tourist couple. And no one else, because there's still not that many people in town. But these performers also had their face masks on. And they're going like, boop de boo, what are you doing today, Jimmeldy-doop? And there's just this one couple just looking at them. I don't know, what do you want to do today? Blum-ba-dum-ba-dum. And then the couple just left. And so they were just on their own. These two people wearing masks going, blip-ba-doop-ba-doop-ba-doop-ba-doop.
And they kept going.
They kept going, because that's what professionalism is.
It's the chilling discipline of the student actor.
Yeah, and good on them. Hardier people than I am.
God, 40 degree heat, and they're just sitting there going, oh!
But then,
what's that behind your ear?
At first I was like, oh God, and they have to wear masks. But then I thought about it and realized, oh, actually, that's probably a blessing in disguise, isn't it? Because it's not exactly something you want to be recognized doing.
If I was doing that job, my first thought would be, I'm glad I'm wearing a mask because my resting expression during this would be a scowl. And now I don't need to smile like a fucking Disney character the whole time, like with that level of pressure.
Yeah.
God. So she was also a big fan of the old Melbourne jail. Mm. However, I hadn't given, she says, however, I hadn't given any thought to the fact while old Melbourne jail had closed in 1929, Maitland housed hardened criminals and was operational until 1998.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good on him.
When we arrived, we purchased audio sets for self-guided tours. Mm-hmm. There was one designed for adults and one for kids. Mm-hmm. I wondered if the kids one might be a bit babyish and asked a staff member what she would recommend. Oh, they'll be fine with the adult one, she answered. gesturing to my eldest kids. So that's, what are the ages here? 9, 11, and 13.
Yeah, so 11, 13, they're getting the adult one?
Yeah. They all so they I think they all, she just gave everyone the adult
okay.
one.
Okay.
So we paid, donned our headsets, tried to decipher the map, and headed outside to start the tour. We learned all about the brutal and infamous murderers who were previous inmates, and reached the bathrooms where we heard thinly veiled references to prison rape.
Wow. Oh no! What were the? Oh God! How do you thinly veil that?
Yeah. Thank you, adult audio tour. She says.
Gosh,
you don't want to be standing next to your 11-year-old and 9-year-old and 13-year-old with that fucking silent disco headphone thing happening, where you're just trying not to look at them as I'm imagining, given people's attitude to male sexual assault and male prison rape, probably quite a jaunty Australian innuendo about a harrowing problem.
Yeah.
And you're like next to like your 11-year-old and you just go, oh, for fuck's sake.
Don't drop the koala. I don't know what they...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But then, like, what would the kids one be? And here's where they scrub-a-dub-dub to be clean for the next day of prison. Like, it can only be so nice before it's just gibberish.
Or it's just like white noise.
It's just badu be du da du. It's just easy listening.
Oh, they'll be fine with the adult ones. That's just great. Oh, they'll be fine.
They gotta learn. It'll scare them straight, maybe. That's what she thought. So then she says, then we entered the visiting room where we heard from ex inmates who had brief opportunities to spend time with their children there. Mm. And she says we saw an enormous mural painted by a murderer who wanted to brighten up the room for the kiddies. The mural was full of Uncanny Valley style artwork.
Oh no.
She says Donald Duck looked furious.
Oh no.
Yosemite Sam held his guns aloft and the Ninja Turtles looked ready to strike out at errant children. Goofy and Minnie's faces were a bit too pale, but then mine would be too if I were on that wall. I'm not sure what would scare the kids more, the mural or Daddy's roommates. I managed to find a photo online, see attached. By the end, I was feeling quite depressed, but it was not all violent escapes and descriptions of brutal murders. We discovered the jail plays host to laser tag games and a prison-themed escape room.
Oh, that's
nice. And as we left, we watched staff set up for an on-site wedding. How romantic.
A wedding. Wow.
A wedding venue. That's the most Australian thing in the world. Let's get married in a jail.
I also know a couple of people who are from Newcastle in Australia specifically, and from what they've said, that sounds like a very Newcastle thing.
Is that patriotic to get married in a prison? Because it's like the source of Australia.
Yeah, it's where the founding fathers lived.
I'm looking at the mural now, Phil. And it's not the worst I've ever seen. I'll say that for the murderer.
Is it?
I'll say that for the murderer. It's not the worst I've seen. Donald Duck does look fucking livid, though. He's really angry. Dumbo's a bit squished. There's a couple I don't recognize. A couple of those kind of like, where you sort of go, oh, was that like a very temporary Hanna-Barbera, you know, spin-off for 1 year in 1953?
Right, yeah. Like George Jetson's friend from work who was in like two episodes.
Yeah, exactly. Except that now for some reason it's in like the Edwardian era, but they just go whatever. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
The amount of faith Hanna-Barbera demanded from us is pretty high. He's done a sort of Elmer Fudd, but he's dressed like a leprechaun.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a fusion going on.
The Ninja Turtles, look pretty angry. Bambi's there.
And what was this guy arrested for? Crimes against art?
Murder.
Oh yeah, murder. Sorry, you did say. Big old murderer. You did say murder. Yeah.
Nice of the murderer to think of the kids, though.
Yeah.
That's it. We have. Oh. Yes, this is good. We got some tat, I think, from Emma.
Emma, you can't blame her. Can't blame her for sending us good tat.
Can't blame her for sending something. Hi, Phil and Pierre, a sober greeting. She says, I've been wanting to email for a while, but have a habit of starting to write something and then getting a visit from the old nobody cares brain monster.
Tell me about it.
God, yeah. I mean, you and I, our job is exactly. Writing, and we get that a visit from that guy.
Yes, no, he has a favorite chair in my brain.
Yes, that cunt knocks on the door with alarming regularity. He's lived down the road. I get a visit from the old nobody cares brain monster and abandon the whole operation. I've made peace with the fact that my contribution is likely to be neither funny nor interesting and have written in anyway, mainly because I want to say thank you. I grew up in West Yorkshire, but I've lived in Copenhagen for the past 3 years.
Nice.
We've been on semi-locked...
The Yorkshire of Scandinavia.
It's true. Copenhagen. We've been on semi-lockdown here since mid-March, and while I am extremely lucky to have a teaching job and two lovely flatmates for company, I haven't been immune to the old lockdown blues.
Yeah.
Woke up this morning, stayed in my room. That's it. That's the whole day. A colleague introduced me to BudPod just in time for the closure of our school and has not only saved me from who knows how many hours spent staring into the abyss, but has provided much-needed escapism and induced countless fits of breathless laughter.
Oh, that's great.
I find your hilarious chat incredibly relaxing, never fails to lift my spirits. I enjoyed the return of Marjorie in the latest episode and have loved rediscovering Sugar Eagle and Lucky Kentucky while listening again to the early editions.
Sugar Eagle! God, that's...
Sugar Eagle!
That's like
Sugar Eagle!
A lifetime ago, Sugar Eagle.
Yeah. Oh, it was over a year ago.
Yeah.
You've encouraged me to broaden my podcasting horizons, and so now she is also a listener, she says, of Off Menu and John Robbins and Ellis James.
Oh, nice one.
Funny to me that we're the one, we can recommend them.
I was just about to say, yeah, those are to the biggest podcast in the country.
Yeah. Yeah, this is it.
But some salmons swim upstream. Actually, a lot do.
This is it.
Yeah.
So she says she has some t-shirt tat to share.
Ooh. That's what a T in t-shirt stands for. It's a tat shirt.
Tat shirt.
Yeah.
I come across this sort of shit on Facebook all the time and don't have the words to describe how much it winds me up. So here's the tat. So have you ever seen these, Phil? These are adverts for types of jumper or long sleeve t-shirt or t-shirt that are like... They're automatically generated using the information in your Facebook profile.
So like they come up and they're advertised to you on Facebook.
Yes, but the content of the t-shirt is based on your profile.
Oh God.
Have you ever seen those weird t-shirts where it's like always trust a dad who was born in April and likes socket wrenches to fix your car.
Right, and these are automatically generated.
I mean, this is me. I'm making assumptions because they go, right, well, we know that they were born in that month.
It's AI, man. These are deep fake t-shirts.
Yeah, and they've liked the I Love Socket Wrenches Facebook page, so we'll extrapolate from that.
These are deep fake shirts.
So here's one of them.
And presumably, and once you buy them, they just immediately get fired out by some horrifying machine in the outskirts of a Chinese city.
Mm, yep.
So this big jumper thing, it's bad font. It looks like even Times New Roman or something. And it's a kind of blurry, like not great picture of Freddie Mercury in black and white on a black jumper. And in Times New Roman font, it says, "Never underestimate a woman who listens to Freddie Mercury and was born in January."
Why would you underestimate her? There's no... Those facts are not relevant to anything enough to over or underestimate her. Or even estimate her.
It's funny, isn't it? Because if you were to say to someone, okay, I've got this bot and it makes t-shirts that say, "I am a woman who listens to Freddie Mercury and was born in January." It'd be like, well, that's the sort of thing a robot would wear. Whereas if you add in "never underestimate," then now it's a statement, and also it paints you as the victim of continuous underestimation. Like, oh, I'm so sick of people underestimating me. I'm secretly so brilliant. That's the story, isn't it?
The abject patronization I have received simply because I'm a woman who listens to Freddie Mercury and I was born in the month of January is unbelievable.
If a woman was saying, "Oh, I like Freddie Mercury," and someone goes, "Wait, when were you born? What month were you born?" "Oh, February." "Oh, okay. Sorry, never mind. Just this thing I have." It's so odd. Never underestimate. It so speaks to people's self-perception as like, well, I'm always underestimated, isn't it?
It speaks to this conflict a lot of people have of having very low self-esteem, but a very high demand for respect.
Yeah.
And so they presume everyone is against them, but then in return have nothing concrete to present as evidence of value. So they go, "Well, never underestimate me. After all, I..." And then they start scanning their lives for something, for some reason not to underestimate them. And all they can bring up is that they like Queen and were born at the beginning of the year.
Or that they have a gun.
I mean, to be fair, that is a good reason not to underestimate someone.
It works.
If they are armed, yeah.
That's what, like, if I lived in America and I had nothing going on, I'd be like, well, I better get a gun.
Absolutely. Gonna buy me some respect.
People are gonna be underestimating me left and right. I can't have that. I gotta come into the... You can't bring a knife to an underestimation fight. So the next automatically generated t-shirt thing, it's a woman's grey t-shirt. And it's a similar theme, Phil, but I'm gonna give you some guesses as to what it is.
Okay, yes, I love this game.
So it says, "Never underestimate a woman who..."
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes... actually, I'll give you more of a clue. So it goes, "Never underestimate a woman who watches blank and was born in blank." I mean, there's a 1 in 12 chance of you getting that.
"Never underestimate a woman who watches..."
I'll give you a little sneaky clue. The font of "Never underestimate a woman who watches blank and was born in blank" is the font of the show or movie.
Right.
So it's a kind of show or movie that has its own font. It's the same font as the title, big elaborate title.
Oh, thing. "Never underestimate a woman who watches Game of Thrones."
Yes.
Yes. Who was born in September?
April. Close.
But yeah. Hey, that's a pretty good guess, though. The Game of Thrones. Yeah. When you said font, I was like, font. What is a very font-driven TV show? Oh, yes,
Game of Thrones. God, if it feels like forever ago that you would get giddy hearing the burp, 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 and you go, oh,
yeah.
Who's going to die now?
Yeah. God, that was exciting.
"Never underestimate a woman who watches Game of Thrones and was born in April."
Utterly unhinged thing to say.
If you heard your own elderly relative say that, you put them in hospital. All right, Nana. All right, Nana, just thought I'd come and say hello. Oh, never underestimate a woman who watches Game of Thrones and was born in April. Oh, God.
You may have been born in April, but you're going to the home now.
You've never even seen Game of Thrones. How do you even know enough to say something that mad? She says, keep up the fantastic work and take care of yourselves in these trying times. Tusen tak. Emma, P.S. The film Whiplash will forever be known in my mind as Keep Drumming or I'll Punch You in the Face.
It's a good film. Thank you, Emma.
It's a good film. Thank you, Emma. And thank you for your lovely praise. That I hope that the delay in us reading that out doesn't mean you think that we also think that the Nobody Cares Brain Monster applies to your email. It's a good email.
No, of course.
It's nice to... It's such an odd thought that this thing that we do, which we don't... we don't see the audience as stand-ups. I find that odd.
That's right. That's right. It's a different, very different form of exchange.
So there's like a furloughed teacher in Copenhagen sending us that, and there's also like a mum in a New South Wales prison laughing at a goofy mural.
And a bucket pooping eucalyptus picker.
Yeah, and they're all thinking, I must tell Bud Pod about this. I must tell Phil and Pierre about this. It's great. Yeah. It's a terrifying testament to how connected we all are now.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is nice. It's a nice thing to think about. And also quite overwhelming.
Yeah, very and abstract, because like, it would make more sense to us given our stand-up careers if it was like a big theater full of the people at once, as opposed to this kind of global continuous thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, strange.
Very strange.
Well, I'm gonna go get ready to see you in the park later, Phil.
Yes, can't wait to see this haircut.
Yeah, right. I hope you like Persian football.
Well, if I don't, I'm going to start by the sounds of it.
All right, listeners, thank you for tuning in to some more correspondence. We're making our way through it. It's like eating an elephant. You can only do it one mouthful at a time.
We're eating out to help out. We're eating elephants to help elephants.
We're eating out elephants to help out.
I did eat out to help out yesterday.
Did you?
On my own! For anyone Ooh. Not in the UK, Eat Out to Help Out is a new government initiative to get people to eat out in restaurants, but also to stay at home if possible and to watch their weight, but also to eat out in restaurants from Monday to Wednesday.
Yeah, it's half price. It's half price for like all the most delicious fattening takeaway food and restaurant food and things like that. But also obesity is indicative of morbidity and coronavirus, so don't put on weight, but do eat twice as much food.
But for the same amount of money, yeah. But it's not takeaway. You have to sit in. You have to sit in.
Yes, they want you to be out there drinking booze and spending taxi money.
But I had a plate of noodles and cashew chicken for £3. So
Jesus, Christ! I should do that. Oh wow!
Yeah.
Wow. We. And they're also trying to promote cunnilingus, of course.
Of course, yes. At last, the message
got through. Bloody Tories!
At last, all our campaigning has gone through.
What's that fucking petitions website?
Change.org?
Yeah, it's the only change.org petition that's ever worked. All right. Keep on jacking it, everyone, and share the podcast around. Do some tweets about it. Do some retweets about it.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Help others
Tell
jack
the
it.
People.
Help others jack.
Help them do it. And see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.